prayer. Luke chapter 11. You there now? So we are going to be looking at the subject of prayer, praying, and everything that has to do with prayer. Yeah. You ready for that now? You love to pray? I do. Do you? Luke 11 verse 1, and it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, or when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said, Jesus was praying. If there's someone who could have gotten by without praying, I mean, would have said, nah, it doesn't really matter. I've got it. It's Jesus. I mean, this is God manifest in the flesh. And he prayed. He says, teach us to pray. So we said, prayer has to be taught. Of course, teaching about prayer does not equate prayer. And there are folks who pray, they teach about prayer, they don't pray. It's easy to teach. No, talking is easy. There's a show I used to watch some years ago, Talk is Cheap. It's a football show. It's easy to talk and say, that player, it's meant to pass it like this. Have you ever been to football viewing center? That's where you find the best footballers. Normal. It's not meant to just cross it like this. Eh? And Garnacho will just pa. Until you're on the pitch. If you see some of them on the pitch and then you say, Garnacho. Your own is Garnacha. Because you don't know how to play. I remember the other day we were playing football. There's also some of us. I don't want to mention names. Amen. I saw some of us, the way we were playing football, I said, nah. But you're the loudest. Cross the ball. Not for me, Joe. But it's time for you to nod the ball. Talk is cheap. We're in a world where everyone wants to teach. Everyone wants to create a podcast. Everyone wants to talk. Everyone has something to say. Where people that married last week, Brian, where is he? People that married last week are opening podcast. I didn't say you opened podcast. 7 things you should know about your marriage. Ah, don't be your wedding. Oh yeah, I've seen you. Don't be your wedding with Drive Go last week. Amen. Talk is cheap. When it's time to walk the walk, can you? So teaching about prayer is not the same thing as praying itself. You've not prayed until you've prayed. And that's why, as we look at the topic of prayer itself, we must remind ourselves that this is to spur us to pray the more. Are you listening to me? He says, teach us to pray. That means prayer should be taught. I was telling someone earlier this year, I said, there are some prayers left. There are some prayers best unprayed. I put it. There are some things you should just not have prayed about. Amen. We can pray about anything. Not like someone dying. Amen. It has to be taught. About those who pray to strange gods, you are better off not praying at all. Amen. At least we know we are dealing with prayerlessness. Not ungodliness. Hallelujah. Or not idolatry. So prayer should be taught. Teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Then Jesus taught them. So it means, if we ask, we receive, right? Teach us to pray. And Jesus not say, it's not for you. Even the new converts should be taught to pray. You preach to someone, you are saved now. One of the first things you teach them is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God the way you talk to every other person, just with much respect and honor. It's communication. You must learn to pray. And know there are things we say in church that sounds cliche. Pray. Everybody knows that Christians pray. So why are we now saying it again? Because we have now become so religious and familiar with the word that we forget to do it. But that should not be you. You should be a praying Christian. I'll tell you why soon. So Jesus taught them. He says, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. We looked at last week. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that tells you that everything we see on earth is not God's will yet. The prayer should be, God, let your will be done. So there are things that are happening now that is not God's will. Don't say, by thought, God is in control of everything. There was this song when I was growing up. It was from one famous Nollywood film. It's a Yoruba movie. The song says, there's no leaf that will drop from the tree that God does not know about it. And I understand what they are trying to paint, that God is the all-knowing, omniscient God. God is not in control of everything. There are things God would not have done on the earth right now. And they're happening. Paul tells us that God's will is for every man to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2. But is every man saved? Answer my question. Is everyone saved? But is it God's will for everyone to be saved? Eh? Come on, I didn't hear you. Is it God's will for everyone to be saved? Not just 144,000. I'm going to be putting some small Maggie. Not just 144,000. Everyone to be saved. Amen. That's God's will. But yet, not everyone is saved because we've got a role to play. You know, there are folks who don't pray because they feel God should know about it now. After all, it's God. Nah. Let your will be done. What a prayer. Not mine, yours. Not my own desires, your desires, Lord. Because you know more than I do. You created the innermost part of me. You know my future. You know the number of my days. Let your will be done. Sometimes we think we have it all figured out. We think, I know what I'm doing now. This is the career path I want to follow. This is what I want to do. This, I have it all figured out. I've got this. But how many times have you told yourself, if you are very retrospective about life and you learn from the past, from hindsight, you will know that there are a lot of times you were wrong. Because there was a time in my life I wanted to make a decision. I think I was 17, maybe 17 or 20. Between 17 and 21. It was a major decision. And I said, no, this is what I should do. And I remember there was one of the ministers in church then that called me and said, Ben, meaning that's not how it is done. So next time you do it this way and this way and this way, then we'll now see what comes out of it. Then we can now make an informed decision. And thank God I listened. How many times when you were young, you didn't want to go to school? Plenty of times, yeah? You were like me, every day. I don't think I've ever been very ecstatic and excited about school. I don't know what you people see there. I know there are folks who like school, yeah, bro, faith and all. Me, moi, if they leave me to my choices, sorry, maybe university, but there's no way you get university without a secondary school, right? That was the hardest one. Secondary school. Especially when I was in boarding house. I'm going to school to be flogged. What's the point? What's the point? Because I've not done the assignment. Why? I don't know it. French. Mama Nika Nakana. I thought it was because I was young. So when I was done with university, I applied for a French course again. See, that was because I was young that time. Let me take it now. I need it for diplomatic reasons. I still failed. Mama's learned to bonois. Very nonsense language. Sorry, to the French. Very nice language. Amen. I think I'll stick with English. How did you get the French? Your will, right? Let your will be done. I don't know as I ought to know. God, let your will be done. What a prayer. Simple prayer. Instead of trying to force myself, force destiny. Jesus says, this is how you pray. God, let your will be done. I found myself at the crossroad. I might not know what I meant to do the way I meant to do it. Lead me and let your will be done. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Meaning there is evil. Hallelujah. I know there are folks who don't believe it. Everything happens to everybody. Nobody can write anything. Okay? There is what? Evil. There's something called evil. Jesus is the one telling you, when you pray, don't forget to add, deliver us from evil. I've told you before, when you see a prayer in the Bible, it means that thing will not happen except you pray. So when Paul says, pray for us, that there are open doors, it means there will never be open doors until we pray. If Paul says, continue in prayer for me that I am delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, it means it will not be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men except we pray. And prayer, we've not prayed until we, we've not prayed until we pray. The only way to pray, is not Adonai. Adonai, we worship you. That's cute. But you're not praying yet. Amen.
You are the one who's giving me a song to.
Oh, TV is in bad draw. You have not started praying. The only way to pray is to pray. Deliver us from evil.
We are delivered in the name of the Lord Jesus.
It says, your will be done. Deliver us from evil. Look at Matthew 6. We said Matthew 6 is the account, the second account, or a corroborative account of Luke 11. Corroborative means what Jesus taught in Luke 11, Matthew records his own in Matthew 6, right? So the same event, the wordings might be a bit different, but they were saying the same thing. That is all. Alright. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches them how to pray. And we said, in teaching them how to pray, he also taught them how not to pray. Right? Remember, that one of the ways he taught them, he said, this is not how to pray. And in verse 5, he tells them, this is not how you pray. He says, when you pray, you will not be as the hypocrites. For the Lord to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. He says, I tell you, that's all they'll get. That's all they'll get. There are folks who like to pray in public as a show. As a show. And brother, then, every time he's going to pray, just say, on the ground. Then it's kabash. Until I corrected it when I was in final year. I said, there's no need to say kabash. I want to go and pray. How simple is that? What's kabash? Fine, I know it's used in some cultures, but don't abuse it. Say, it's not abuse, pastor. I'm just like, I want to go and pray. Is that not simple enough? So every time you just say, emoji. No kabash. And I didn't really see anything at the first instance. For many months, I didn't see anything. One day, he said it again, he said, come. Must I know you want to go and pray? Amen. Don't be like the hypocrites. Now, of course, that might not be his intention. I understand. But, if you want to dance, you start from clapping. Amen. He said, I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to dance to that song. They already knew like this. Very soon, your feet will move. So if you don't want to be an hypocrite from this, don't bother telling me. You're praying your own self here. Give me roses. I mean, what's your Rose of Sharon? That's TikTok, Abby. I don't know why you have many apps. You have too many apps. Too many apps. No Bible on your phone. No Bible app. It's not like you carry your Bible everywhere. God sees you. But you have TikTok. Give me Rose. Lion of Judah. Lion! Then you rejoice. Which other one they give? Star Hope. Help me out. I know, no, she doesn't create content. But she's on TikTok, so she knows what. Apart from Rose and Lion. None. That's all. You don't know. Who knows, please? Honey. Coins. Okay. Any other one? Is that all? What's your poor? Is it like 9? Gift of the Spirit. And they give you all of that. On prayer. I remember someone shared one video with me on Twitter. And said, it was a TikTok video. The guy was praying. I don't know if some of you down on TikTok know the guy. He was sweating. I feel he was praying. And they, press it. And it was like, no, I'm serious. I don't know if I've seen the video I'm talking about. Okay. Thank God I have a witness. It doesn't look like. He was sweating. I will not perish. I'm believing. There's just something. You pray a slow string song at the background. That's the way the spirit can move. You understand? Just pray one slow. And they are pressing you, Rose, and you are seeing it in prayer. Amen. I understand churches who do like congregational prayers online and all that. Fine. Personally, I would feel let's just all go and pray. I mean, we can all just go and pray and come back. I don't know. The advent of technology has changed a lot in the scope of things. We adjust and then see how things pan out. But if we say we have a prayer by 8 o'clock, I think we should just go and pray by 8 o'clock. Rather than being on the laptop by 8 o'clock saying we are praying. Pastor, you have been old school. Thank you. That's what I like to hear. Amen. Jesus says, Don't be like the hypocrites. He said the same thing about giving alms when you want to give people things. Don't embarrass them. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You apply that to prayer too. When you pray, don't be an hypocrite. So he's teaching prayer. He says, verse 6, but when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, that's a big closet. That's a walk-in closet. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in heaven, and your Father who sees you in secret shall reward you openly. Amen. He says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the Ethiopians do. And we explain vain repetitions, pathologia now, right? And we said vain repetitions would be, we said repetitions means to stutter, right? To chatter, to talk, to stutter. The vanity is about temporary things, material things. And Jesus says, let your prayer not consist of material things. That's why he will just say in the next verse, for your Father who is in heaven knows that you need these things. That is, every time you are praying, it's all about private jet. That's fine. You know, there are different levels of prayer. Someone is praying for a bicycle, another one is praying for a bike. Another one is praying for a tricycle. Another is praying for a good leg. Amen. Why you are praying, God, that I just need a Mercedes Benz. I don't know. I just need a Mercedes Benz for your glory or for your own. you know, you're a good shepherd. They sit in my body. In Benz. For your glory, Lord, for your glory. For your glory. Why are you praying for a Mercedes Benz? Someone is praying for a leg, a good leg. I mean, I just want to be able to walk without pain. Hallelujah. And your Father in heaven knows that you need these things. Amen. Your Father in heaven saw it when that car splashed water on you. But nothing is going to do the car and the owner. Amen. Splash water on me. Ah! You not get to where you're going. He has gotten there already. He has packed. I've told you, God does not eat the people you eat. And you should not eat people. Amen. You can't splash water on him. Ah! You are reminding God. You, have you reminded God? Amen. God is not in control of everything. You've got to take some things in prayer. Paul will tell you in Philippians 4. He says, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto your pastor. Eh? Make your request known unto God. So that means I have a responsibility in God meeting my needs. I make the request known unto God. I'm just not just sitting at home and saying, I'm not just writing prayer requests on a list. The list has to go to God. But you sit down and you just say, God will do everything. We'll do everything. No, it's not going to do everything. It's not. All right. It says, don't use vain repetition. So again, we said vain repetition is not about the use of words. Even though it's about the use of words in implication. It's not really about mentioning things over and over again. That's not what he's saying. I've seen people say, why are we praying for pastor every time? Is that not vain repetition? We prayed yesterday. Tomorrow we'll pray again. Next service, I'm very sure they will say, let's pray for pastor. I beg. Next time they say, pray. Let me pray. Hallelujah. Do you guys pray for me? I need it. You know? A lot. The pastor means I need it. Why are they not praying for me? Ah. Are we in competition now? Hallelujah. I'm praying for you. He says, don't use vain repetitions. But a logio, so it means don't stutter over vanity. There are folks who have never prayed for the spread of the gospel. Not one day. Did you sit down and say, we're going to pray for the spread of the gospel. That the gospel reaches the nooks and crannies of the earth. That the gospel grows in leaps and bounds. And it is reaching the... Oh, Sherry, never. What do you always pray about? Jesus. Jesus, there's nothing to eat in the afternoon. Tomorrow, there's nothing to eat in the evening. Next morning, there's nothing to eat in the morning, Lord. Angels are carrying your request. I'm even tired. They say, there's nothing to know what the prayer is about. There's nothing to eat in the morning. When last did you pray for the sick? When last did you pray for that brother in church? You've been seen, and he appears. This person he's looking down. He said, I just pray for this brother. Whatever he's going through, or whatever is going through him, the Lord, you intervene. You give him peace of mind. Your peace floods his heart. You help him. You help his family. How about that? You've never prayed for another. It's all about you and you and you and you. Jesus says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Does that make sense now? He says, prayer is for more than things. 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you with me this morning? Alright. I trust you are. 1 Thessalonians 5. You're still on prayer. teach us to pray. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. How easy is that? It says, always rejoice. We're in a world where, you know, people, they police celebrations. Amen. You've heard it before. Don't say, why are you just happy? Why are you happy like you won? Why are you happy like someone gave you $1,000 is not really that much. Like someone gave you $10 million. Why are you this? It's like, I can't be happy anymore. I remember, was it football season, last two seasons, and someone told me, said, Arsenal fans, you see Arsenal fans? Happy in September, crying in May. I know I've given rivals banter materials now. And they say, why are you excited? Like I've won something. And I sat down. And I began to question that kind of lifestyle. So you only get excited when you are done and you win everything at the end of the season. You might as well not watch the games until it's May. What kind of life is that, that you rob yourself of joy? The joy of the journey. I said, I'm not going to be happy until I see the trophy. And I said, so what should fans of Everton do? Because they are never going to be happy. Looks like that. There are clubs that they know. You know there are clubs that at the beginning of the season, you are saying, you must win. There are clubs that they know. We are just coming here. The goal is not to go down. There's no trophy care. You look how far you cross. There's nothing we are doing. Our own is, we win some, we draw some. We lose a lot. I said, but they are still football fans of those clubs, right? And they go to games, and when they win, they're happy. Not because it's going to lead to one final thing. It's a trend in the world where people feel only something very big happens, I should not be that excited. And people police celebrations. So I told the guy, I said, when it's your turn, when you win a game, cry. Me, I'll be happy. Amen. When it's your own turn, you cannot decide that, as we won this game. When it's your turn, you can choose to be rolling on the floor and be weeping. But my own life is full of joy. I'm not going to introduce nonsense into my life and start sobbing and moaning over everything. No. It says rejoice evermore. That's not even where we're going to. Everyone that will teach you about joy. You can live in constant joy. It's possible. Of course, there are seasons. Things happen. Things happen that will get you to worry. Things happen that will get you to really invest your care. And then you look at what's going to happen next. What am I going to do about this? It happens. But Jesus says, or the word of God says through Paul, rejoice evermore. Shall I rejoice? Thank you, Lord Jesus. You always have the reason to rejoice. You know, every day when you wake up, you just say, today, joy is coming. Hallelujah. Hope for the best. Expect the best. You know, hope for the best. Let's expect the worst. Who is expecting the worst? Why should I waste my expectation? I mean, nobody's going to charge me for it. I'm not charged for my expectations. I can as well keep them positive. The Christian faith itself is positive. The Christian faith itself is optimistic. That expecting the worst is not scriptural. It's not from the word of God. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without season. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So if you don't know anything about God's will, what does God want me to do in life? He says to rejoice, to give thanks, and to pray without season. That means don't stop praying. Of course, it doesn't mean every time you are breathing, you are praying. All about when you are asleep. You know? You can't be praying at every second of the day. What he's saying is, make a culture out of prayer. Pray every day. Some versions will say, always keep praying. And that was a pray regularly. Never give up praying. Never stop praying. You can pray all the time. Pray every day. Tell someone besides you, say pray every day. There's that song in Children's Church. Read your Bible, pray every day. If you want to grow. If you want to grow. Eh? If you want to grow, read your Bible. Don't tell me. Sing to someone beside you. Eh? Pray every day. Sis, read your and pray every day. So ask, are you growing? Aha. You can answer that question now. Do you read your Bible every day? and pray every day. You only carry your Bible on service days. In fact, you already have it in one bag. You just pick the bag.
So I say, ah, pastor, it will read me tongue.
Yeah. That bag, you hung it somewhere. Okay. For some of you, just by the bedside. The bag. Ah, Mr. Tenny, why are you smiling? I saw that smile. That smile is like, I'm not part of it, right? The bag is there, your church note is there, and biro. Wednesday service. After service. Wednesday. Why? You bought devotional with your own money. And you have refused to, the devotion is so new, you can as well take it back to the bookstore and resell it. Some of you, your devotion is inside that line on. God will help you. Pray without stopping. Paul will say it in Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. There are things that will never happen to a Christian or happen for him without prayer. He says, continue. Watch. That word watch, it means staying awake. Exactly what disciples did not do. It means staying awake. They slept and just told them. He said, can't you watch with me for an hour? Then when the temptation came, they flee. Things could have been different. They could have been strong enough not to deny him, strong enough not to run. May your spirit not be weak. It says, watch. Watch and pray. Look at 1 Peter 5. Let me show you something. 1 Peter chapter 5. Of course, 1 Peter is before 2 Peter. Are you learning something? 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself in the hands of the Lord, or under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Can we read verse 7 and 8 together? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. He says, be vigilant. The Bible does not mince words. When it says be vigilant, that means it's necessary. Watch. He says, if I say in verse 7, cast your cares upon him, he cares for you. Worry does not move anything. I understand that there are folks who like to, they enjoy worrying. You know how people, they enjoy worrying. In fact, when there's nothing to worry about, they create a scenario in their head. What of when this time happens later? They just create one imaginary scenario that will make them start sweating again. They just want to worry. You got a good job. Okay, what happened when they sacked me? Why? What did you do? I don't even know what I would do. What am I to do? You just got married. Not you, bro. All of us like this, our marriage is less than 10 years. You just got married. Amen. Except you don't plan to be together for long. So if you want, you are young in marriage for 15 years. Amen. Like me, I'm 16 years old. Next week, I'll be 17. You just got married. You're already thinking, what will not happen? What will not happen? When will not get tired of each other? Why? Why are you thinking of that now? 1 year in, 2 years in. What will happen? And you see me finish. Why are you creating nonsense in your head? You are just a worry machine. No, I'm not a worry machine. He says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. What a soothing thing to hear, that God actually cares for me. So if I decide to actually put my cares on him, I will not have to worry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, cast your cares. It's an instruction this week. Cast your cares upon him. What a privilege to carry. That old hymn that says, everything to him in prayer. What a peace we often forfeit. Needless what that we bear. He said, needless pain. That means this pain, you don't really have to go through it. There are needless pains. Needless pain we bear. Now you're a graduate. There was a time you were crossing God for admission. Oh, my mates. Now you are finished. NYC, everything day. And you're saying, I should have not even gone to the school. So all those worry of those years, needless pain, right? And it was painful, but it was needless. What needless pain will be there? Just because we don't carry everything to him in prayer. Care, cast your cares. There's an health issue, cast your cares on him. Family issue, cast your cares on him. In school, cast your cares upon him. Amen. I remember I wrote one exam. I said, I went to eat after that exam. I've told you before. That was the only exam in my life that I knew that almost, if God was not intervening, failure straight. I knew it like the back of my hand. The question they were asking, I said, they teach us these things. Remember surgery now? You passed well. When I was there, I went to eat in poison zone. There's something called poison zone. I went there, I took pounded yam. At least, I cannot lose one in two places. Pounded yam and egusi. Let's walk on to happen. And I was done. I said, God, oh, do well. I went to the hostel. People were crying already. I didn't answer number five. I don't even know what to write number three. I said, who has Scrabble? Let's play Scrabble. It's Scrabble. It's Scrabble. I think it was the last paper. It's Scrabble that is going to, they intentionally put it where you have to worry. Like, they want to give you time to worry about this. They intentionally put that last paper. That was 400 level. When I was done, I said, God, I've never asked you to help me in any exam. And it's true. Because it's the exam. I always feel it's the exam. But you can pray about your exams. Amen. I'm not saying angels will bring answers to you. You are a cheat then. Right? But you can just pray. Help me not to be too anxious. Because sometimes you are too anxious to just write the right thing. Yeah? Help my Bible not to be missing. As your Bible will be missing the exam before. You will be hating yourself in life. How did I do this? My pencil. That happened to you before. It looks like, you just, what kind of life is this? What's going on in this world? Say, cast your cares. He cares for you. You believe that? Alright. This is, cast your cares. I say, but you now have another rule. Be sober, be vigilant. It's the same word, the same Greek word as watch. He says, be sober, be vigilant. And I say, why? Why do I have to be vigilant? Say, because your adversary. I told you, in Psalm 11, the Bible records that the enemy has a special taste to eat you. You are on his eat list, whether you like it or not. You are on the devil's eat list. Whether you decide to believe it or not, you are there. I know there's a lot of this new generation that criticize praying churches. Say, those churches, yeah, they just know it's prayer. I think that's a better thing to know. Amen? They don't teach word. What are they not praying from? Don't they quote scriptures? Say every time, enemy. They know what they saw. Someone that woke up in the morning, on Monday morning, I went to church to pray about enemy. You think he's not seeing something? Someone woke up on a Monday morning, put on clothes, carry Bible and bell. I went to say, enemies die. I think I will just leave him a bit. That's not the time to teach him anything. Let him first pray that prayer. He knows why he's there on a Monday morning. Hallelujah. Someone carried their Bible. Everything. Went on a mountain. Did not eat. Remember, there was one mountain like that. I went to some years ago. You can't even get anything to buy. The only thing is granite. You know those granite you have to crack with your teeth? Ibiapa. For 3 days, only granite. And that granite will not surface until 8 p.m. You will not see it even to buy. It's banned. It's 8 p.m. And then there's a quantity you can buy. So you can't even say, I want to fill my belly with the granite. I remember one time I saw one man there. I knew that. This man, he's vigilant. There are things he's seeing. The way he was praying, I had to drop my own prayer so that I don't take part of his own load home. Amen. May you know, cast out the devil and be looking for someone. I say, because say, your adversary is looking for whom to devour. That's good news, right? Because that means he cannot indiscriminately just attack anyone. He's seeking. He's looking for the one who is not vigilant. The devil cannot just go and say, I'm going to attack this one. No, he can't just shoot randomly. That's why he's looking. So we can play a role in keeping the devil far from us. How do we do that? Eh? We pray. Are we pray? And then you go to TikTok. Sorry, I don't have an issue with TikTok actually. Before the last year, but we saw your shorts, your shorts on TikTok. You might be seeing it very soon. Amen. Because everywhere there are humans, the gospel will reach. I didn't hear amen. Amen. If you like, go to a cave, create another social media. We just see GHC. See, God's word that you don't act upon is as good as the one. You could just see him. You could just pop as the one you never heard. Amen. And we pray, oh, we pray. Next thing, you are doing challenge. That one that they are shaking waist, that the waist is not shaking. You know what I'm talking about? That one painter boy. You know it. My paro. And you are using, the song that you are using is like, we pray, oh. If I don't pray, Satan will make mess of me. I hear with a jar. Some people's life and living right now is actually that song. He's already making the mess. The mess is not just, full blown. Your life will not be in a mess. He says, he cares for you, but you have a role. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be alert to spiritual things. Yesterday, I was coming from somewhere. We brought David. We actually went to the office to get some things done. And normally, I would have passed a particular route. So I told him, I said, remind me. Do you remember? I said, remind me not to pass this route. Because I had an impression in my spirit at that time. So I don't forget. He reminds me a lot of things. It's like the comforter. So I said, remind me not to pass this route. So we took another route. When I got home, my neighbor sent me a message that they just robbed people on that road. This was yesterday. They took two people's cars. Said just now, that people are turning back and all that. That if I'm around, because you know my office is just around that place. Said if I'm around, you go and pass. Now mentioned the other road I passed. I said, okay, sir. And I just smiled. It was really nothing. It's nothing because you have learned to just stay spiritually sensitive. Sensitive to smell the faintest danger. And I pray for you and myself that you are kept away from evil. Amen. No, it's evil if they snatch your car. You don't know it's evil. It's still evil now. I know you say, we thank God for life. But, now they are selling car. that's some wasted. You are preserved from evil. Amen. This was just yesterday. Imagine being stubborn. After I got that impression, I was past the first place. We will thank God for life, right? Why not thank God for the life and for the car? That's what we're doing now, right? That's a better thanks. Huh? Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, be vigilant. He's seeking whom to devour. He's looking for the one who is not vigilant, who is not watching. You can pray. In Luke 6, verse 12, we see Jesus in Mark 1. Let's go to Mark 1 first. Are you learning something? You are vigilant. You are alert by the Spirit of God. Your spirit is not dead to God's information, to supernatural promptings. You are alive to it. You know what to do. You know how to do it. You know when to do it. You know where to go. Your life is not, it's not filled with mistakes. It's not filled with nonsense events. Amen. There are some testimonies that are better just avoided. I don't want to start giving testimony for, the car was almost killing me, but we escaped. Thank God for life. I just want God to tell me ahead. And I just don't get there at all. I remember teaching this when on campus. I don't know if you remember the teaching. Were you there? When I said, God does not really want you to have a miracle. You remember that teaching? Now, I'm not playing down miracles. Okay, you were there, Abby? Okay, you heard it later. And people were looking at me and they want Roger. Because I rather want sound health than to be healed from a terminal illness. Fine. If push gets to shove, we trust God to step in. Right? But I don't want push to get to shove. Amen. I don't want some kind of testimonies. Testimony time. I don't want some kind of testimony. I've already escaped it. Like a bird, I've escaped the snare of the fowler. Preserved. Kept in the, kept. Kept in my going out. Kept in my coming in the name of the Lord Jesus. Mark 1, in verse 35, we see Jesus. He has a prayer life. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, departed into a solitary place, and he prayed. Look at that. He's doing what he eventually taught them. Don't let people see you. It isn't because of Jesus. You now stand on the temple, Gogo. Now say, Rabbi, Rabboni. Rakuku. He went into a solitary place where he was alone. there he prayed. Jesus had a prayer life. You know your prayer times. There are people who are morning people. There are people who are night people. And there are people who are none. You sleep in the morning, you sleep at night. Kilo shele. Daytime, you are always sleeping. Nighttime, you are always sleeping. Are you drugged or something? Find your prayer times. Okay, maybe every 5 p.m. Not every prayer is you will kneel down and then you put two hands together. Sometimes you're walking. Sometimes you're driving. Amen. Just don't close your eyes. Marwa? Have you seen those Marwa the way they drive? We pay for Panabita, eh? Learn to discipline yourself to pray with your eyes open. Amen. So that you can have more opportunities to pray. Because if all the time you pray, your eyes are always closed, you have limited time to pray because you can't do that on the road. Amen. Jesus had a prayer. He was both a morning person and an evening person. That means we can even choose both. So actually, he was an evening person too. Luke 6. So we just have early in the morning before everyone woke up, Jesus went to pray. I can pray like him. He said, you don't believe that. I can pray like him. Luke 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days, he went into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He continued all night. Learn to pray. Learn to pray in tongues too. I said, learn to pray in by the Spirit and in your understanding. Understanding will mean in your natural language. But learn to pray in tongues. There are folks who don't believe in tongues. I don't know why. In Acts 1, it was recorded that 120 people gathered at the upper room to pray. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Mary, Pentecostal. Selah, amen. Mary, on the day of Pentecost, was praying. You can light a candle all you want and shout to Holy Mary. The lady herself had fire on her head. Amen. She got cloven tongues of fire. You don't have to light a candle. It can be on your head. Mary Pentecostal. Can I have an amen to that?
Yeah.
Why would you not believe in tongues? It's God's will. Of course, I'm not saying every time you pray in tongues. What are you going to be saying all night? Oh, I want to know the content of what you're going to be praying all night without tongues. I mean praying. I don't mean you added a little bit of gong gong and dance. I used to like Night Vigils tautology, yeah? I like Vigils when we were younger. I still like Vigils. I mean, it used to be fun times. Start with... It's always fun. You see everybody. People that you don't... Normally you see them in church during the day. Everybody see at night. People wear socks. We dance. Sometimes there's even drama. Free show. Their testimony. Then the prayers. Okanka. You understand? The evangelist catch you with prayer. First tell his story. The man wanted to just cross. Just wanted to cross. In fact, that day he said he was not going to go out. As he was crossing like this trailer, crush up. You will now pray. You will not pray again. You hear that someone don't want to go out. Someone now called him, meet me outside. As he was about to cross, trailer crush, he died. Every evil call. Ha. Every evil call that wants to call you to death. I want to call you to glory. Hey, wait. You not break it. Hey, wait. Every evil call. Extra cool. Learn to pray in tongues. And learn to do it often. Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, if I pray in tongues, I build myself. I edify myself. Edify myself means I am making myself stronger. Most of the escapes you have had came because you have deposits of tongues. It fortifies you against the wicked one. Learn to pray in tongues. Anytime you remember, just pray in tongues. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, pray in tongues. Make it a part of your life and living. Are you listening to me? So if you are Pentecostal, if you are not, if you be, whatever you believe in, whether you believe in Mary, oh, you are Pentecostal. We are all Pentecostals. Amen. So we all should pray in tongues. When I was younger, people would gaslight you. I said, no, you should be praying in tongues. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's not taught. So don't let anybody write tongues for you on the board. Say, ba, ka, kalaska. Yeah, baka, kalaska. nah. Every man born again can speak in tongues. Every man. And if you can't this morning, as we pray, you would receive supernatural energy to voice it out. No, you have to say amen. I mean, it will happen. I'm just telling what will happen. Because you can't speak in tongues. You can. Sometimes, what you need, if you can't speak in tongues, what you need is to touch someone who is doing this, who is speaking in tongues. We see that in the Acts of Apostles. After Philip got the entire city saved, the carpenter and John said, all you just have, what we need is contact. So that these ones who are born again can now speak in tongues. Contact. So contact is one of the ways spiritual gifts are imparted. So there's no day for that. So let's go. So we said Jesus had both a morning prayer life and an evening, a night prayer life. Amen. Learn to pray. In Luke 9, I'll start to close now. In verse 18, no, this was shortly after Jesus multiplied loaves of bread. And sometimes we Luke did a good job in this instance, compared to the eyewitness. I must confess. Again, don't forget, we did a study on four gospels some years ago. We're going to do another one. Do you know that the Caesarea Philippi encounter was after Jesus multiplied loaves of bread?
Yeah.
When Jesus had, who said, I am the Son of Man, it was shortly after he multiplied loaves of bread and they had a miracle. And that changes everything. Alright. So this was after he multiplied loaves of bread. In verse 18, Luke 9. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, again say praying. So again, Matthew did not really give us this perspective that he was praying. He just looked like he was waiting and then they went out to preach and they came back and they said, would men say that I had the Son of Man? Luke is telling us, no, he was praying. And disciples were with him and he asked them and said, who do people say that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, Elijah, and some all of that. So again, I just want point to say, even after a miracle, Jesus was still praying. He didn't go and open podcast. He didn't start putting on videos and just saying, this is where it's happening. Have you multiplied loaves of bread before? In our service, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes. We just did it casual. Come here, miracle center. No. After a miracle as big as that, he went to pray. The river that does not forget its source will never get dry. Learn to pray. Are you there? Look at verse 28. The same chapter, Luke 9. And it came to pass, about 8 days after, he took Peter and John and James, please read your Bibles, and he went into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, pray for me as I close, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment white and glistering. That means things can happen to us as we pray. We can have encounters that are beyond human experiences. We can have events, happenings, actions that are beyond human comprehension as we pray. There are things that will never happen naturally until we pray. Prayer makes things possible. As he prayed, he says his raiment was changed. He began to glister. It began to shine. Prayer can change me. Prayer can make what seemed impossible possible. As he prayed. Oh Lord God. Lord of prayer. As he prayed, things began to change. Look at verse 30. And behold, there talked with him 2 men. He went with 3. James, John, and Peter. Suddenly there are 2 others. Elijah and Moses, who appeared in glory. I want to see this. What is a Christian experience without visions? You go an entire life with the gifts of the Spirit and you never had an experience out of the body. Like Paul would say, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But what I know is that I was one as such, caught up in the third heavens. The experience is the heart of the body. You just wonder, what's going on? I remember when I was younger, we were very peculiar about angels. Ministry of angels. Angels. What are angels doing? What are angels doing? I wanted to see demons. Why? I don't really know. But I think that's what happens when you're young. And I told God, I said, I will not leave this place until I see an angel. I went to the church very early, about 5, 6 a.m. And I said, pray. Not for anything, not for the gospel to spread, not for anything. I just want to see an angel. And when I eventually saw one, it was frightening. It was too strange, too weird. So I took my eyes away and I was going to take my eyes back again. Gone. It was a flash of a moment. We can have more experiences like that. You know, in that flash of a moment, God can show you things to come. That's what he did for Jesus. Look at what did Moses and Elijah come to do? Verse 31. Who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. They were preparing him. They were preparing Jesus. Now it's about to happen. You're going to go to Jerusalem. You know what to expect. They were strengthening him. They were preparing him. What happened physically is big enough. Beaten, mocked, spat on, laughed at. But that was not even the real deal. He became sin. He went to hell. The one who is light himself went into darkness. The judgment of the world was placed on him. He had to be prepared for that. That means in prayer, God can prepare us. God can arm us in prayer. Where regardless of the events and circumstances coming our way, we are ready to go through it untouched. There are circumstances that happen to two different people. Same circumstance, two different people. And they come out with different results. Because one was strengthened, the other was weak. Prayer prepares you. As he prayed, his raiment was changing. And he had a vision. Moses and Elijah talking to him. We receive supernatural encounters. Oh, we receive as a church. We receive multiple supernatural encounters. Strengthening that can be done by God alone. It says that happens when we pray. How long did he pray for? We didn't know. But as he prayed, things happened. Things changed. He got details in prayer. This will happen in Jerusalem. The first thing that they will catch you. That's why when they arrested Jesus, you know, he told them, he said, legions could have come. I could have called on legions. But nah, my kingdom is not from here. This is your time. The hour of darkness. He lets himself be arrested. Those who were not in prayer were busy cutting off other people's ears. Because they had no preparation of what's coming. Peter didn't know what was going on. And that's how sometimes we act impulsively, thinking we can defend God. Meanwhile, it is his will. We act against his will because we have not prayed. But when we pray, we have details. When we choose to pray, he prepares us. He said it will happen in Jerusalem. So when they started asking him, is your kingdom from here? If you are the great physician, come down. He was prepared enough. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. But we have the details. They don't know what they are doing. This must happen in Jerusalem. God details in prayer. In his presence, you can hear things. You can see things. So let's make an habit out of praying. There is more to see and hear. See, there are depths to the things you have seen. I'll say this again. And listen to me keenly. So those of you who have been born again for a while, regardless of how much you have worked with the gift of the Spirit, there is more. I know you've had Psalms. You've had word of knowledge, prophecies, word of wisdom. There's a depth. There's a depth to these things. There is more to still see. There is more to still hear. And as we pray, we venture into his depths. As we pray, he leads us into his depths. Into the deep things. He leads us into more. He leads us into more. We begin to do more than we've done before. We begin to hear more than we've heard before. We begin to see more than we've seen before. In prayer, you get God's best. You get God's best. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, say, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll lead and direct your path. If I don't acknowledge him, he won't lead and direct my path. And that's not a good thing. How many times have we gone through life and we say, it has happened, it has happened. It has how God wanted it. But we didn't even give him a chance to direct our path. If I'm going to write that version of that Proverbs 3:5 myself, I would have said, trust in the Lord and don't think you've got it. Don't think you've had it all covered. Sometimes we feel, I've got it. Don't worry. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed. Trust in the Lord. So that after a while you don't say, I don't know why God did this. He didn't. You were just impressed with your own wisdom. You didn't find his wisdom wise enough. You felt you could do it on your own. But this morning, there's a call to prayer. It's a prayer call. And I hope you answer. Oh Lord, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Teach us how to pray. Teach us what to pray. Teach us when to pray. Teach us to always rely and trust you. We know there's direction with you. We know there's clarity with you. And we receive all of this. Are we ready to pray now? Let's pray. There are no prayer points. Let's pray. Pray. Paul says, I'll pray in the spirit. And I'll pray in my